Hi, I'm Janelle.
And I'm Monique.
And welcome to Is Marriage Worth It?
We are just two single chicks, girls, women.
Anything but females.
Trying to figure out what marriage is like and is it worth it?
I'm assuming the best place to get the answers is from married people. Maybe engaged people, newlyweds, and even other singles.
Each episode, we will have a guest answering different questions we have or that you may have about marriage.
Join us as we try to figure out, is marriage worth it?
And if it is, I wonder if my future husband or yours is listening right now.
Hi, I'm Monique.
And I'm Janelle.
And welcome back to another episode of
Is Marriage Worth It?
So our guest today is Connie. And the way that she became a guest last season, we did say we weren't sure if we were coming back for another season. And my mom personally took that challenge into her own hands and said, I will find you guys some guests. And so Connie is actually a longtime friend of my mom. So thank you, Connie, for accepting our invitation to be on the podcast.
Thank you. I'm very happy to be here. And, you know, young people, and especially the children of my friend that I sat with on, we call it school bench, you know, we sat on school bench together, and now her girls are all grown and doing such a program. I'm excited.
All right. So Connie, if you could tell us a little bit about yourself.
Basically, I am in my 60s. I'm not going to say how far in my 60s, but I am there somewhere halfway through. And I've had two marriages, right? And the first one was Baha'i, and it was early, very early in my life. I mean, I left high school and I got married at 18. And of course, I thought I knew what I wanted. And I was like sure that, you know, I wanted to follow the Baha'i, you know, laws about marriage. And I did as best as I could to follow. And I did 25 years and three beautiful children, but it came to an end after 25 years, as I said. And then I waited. I think I'm the marriage type. So marriage is indeed for me, you know. So I waited like about 5 years, and then I got married again. And it lasted 13 years, and now I'm single again. That's in a nutshell, my life. It's all been married. And I've been single now for 20. So 2020, I got divorced. So what's that? 2 years?
3 years.
About almost
years?
Three.
Going on 3 years, yeah. And, you know, maybe another couple of years and I'll be married again.
Only time will tell.
Yeah, we'll see.
All right, so we are going to back up to the beginning of your story. I know you said you got married for the first time, like right out of school. But how did you guys meet?
Okay. So imagine how young I was and naive. I'm in this little island called Dominica and just got out of high school, feeling at the top of the world, you know, like the world is my oyster. I'm going to conquer the world. And, you know, I left high school, graduated valedictorian in my school. And
congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. And Francis and I were like, your mom and I were like head on head. Head to head for this, you know, head go and valedictorian. But she was very good, by the way, at maths. And I was very good at English. So we helped each other out a lot. But she always had this very clear thinking mind, you know, always knew what she wanted and went for it. And I was more, you know, visionaire and, you know, just foo-foo. Kind of know what I want, but, you know, it's not as clear. I don't know. She was a mathematician. I was a English major. So going back to how I got married. Okay. So I went to, I was going back. My mom always like never, it wasn't allowed for me to go out on my own. So she allowed me to go out with our teacher at the time. She became my friend, but she was my English teacher. Okay. And we lived in the same town. And so every time I had to go out, if my teacher was going, I could go. But if my teacher wasn't going, I couldn't. My teacher was a little bit older than me, not much, you know. Yeah. So we sort of meshed well. And so I was going out. She agreed for me to go out with my teacher. I had no boyfriend. Yes, I did have a little school girl boyfriend, you know, like we see each other. Oh, hi, and I talked to but nothing, you know. And so I was going out with her one afternoon when this man stopped. I was 18, he was like 28, you know, like, really, what am I doing with a 28-year-old? But that's how it happened, you know. I saw this guy, he had a beard, he reminded me of my dad, and I'm like, this is him. This is he, you know? It's like, what? And of course, he liked me very much. And within a short period of time, it was like, no, he's of a different religion. He's Catholic. I'm Baha'i. But I'm like, no, we can't, you know, we have to obey the chastity laws, you know? Mm-hmm. And so the only thing that had to be done to quell that kind of hormonal, whatever was going on, was to get married. I mean, it was really silly, but that's how we thought at the time. I mean, very naive. Anyway, so I waited until, you know, my mom would say, yes, it was okay. The other thing in the law of the Baha'i faith is that your parents need to consent. All living parents must consent to the marriage. If they say no, you can't get married. Okay. Oh, okay. So, yeah. So I begged and begged and begged. For months I begged, you know. But what was driving it was not really sensible stuff. You know, mm-hmm. one of the tests they've had, you know, is that when you are under that influence, like if you are the first falling in love, when you're in love that way, puppy love, whatever you call it, this is the time when you should not get married, because your brain, you're not really in your right mind. You know, the hormones and the everything else have taken over, and your mind is really dormant. Your critical thinking is not there. I mean, this is scientific research that they've done on this love thing. And so, but I didn't know all of that. All I knew is, like, I wanted to satisfy this physical aspect of my life, but I couldn't do it because of my faith and until I got married. So that's the story. That's how and why I got married. And needless to say, it was a tough marriage. But because, again, of my faith, I held on and held on and held on until I couldn't hold on anymore, you know? I waited until my children were big enough and I was out. And by that time, of course, it took all these years to really mature. Mm-hmm. I was about 42 when I got my divorce. And but I didn't regret any of it. It is okay. Just, you know, just life.
So how long did it take for your mom to actually come around and say yes, that you guys could get married?
It took almost a year. It's about 9 to 10 months that I waited. That seemed like an everlast. And the thing is about it, she had to be looking out for me, making sure that I come home on time. I couldn't go to, you know, she was like, she mm-hmm. knows what's going on. And she... Yeah. She just felt I was too young and I wouldn't listen. That's the other thing again. We need to listen to our parents, you know. We really do need to. But I wasn't. I was just listening to my own needs, you know, what I feel, you know. And I didn't know enough, you know. There's some, mm-hmm. nowadays I think that there's some young people who know. But in those days, really and truly, looking back, hindsight, mm-hmm. I didn't know much, you know, about life.
So did you guys go out on dates? Because you weren't technically allowed to go out if it wasn't with
We didn't go out on dates, which was not a bad thing per se, because if I had gone out on dates, then we would have, I mean, it's not really, I mean, the law is there. So it's a religious law, but I believe it's also spiritual. It's there to protect us. Mm-hmm. And if we had gone out on dates, which is a 2 days, you know, thing that we think that is so great, but if it's so great and we go out on dates and yet 50% of marriages end up in divorce, I don't think that that's the great thing, to be able to go out on dates. Anyway, that's a very controversial topic I'm bringing up here. But I know for young people, it's like, what? You got to go out on dates so that you can get to know each other and whatnot. So I'm not saying you shouldn't go out on dates, but then dates needs to be supervised, okay. So I didn't go out on dates as such, unless it was supervised again. Like if I could go out with my teacher and him, you know, once in a while, you know. So I did go out a little bit.
So
I remember going to the movies.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So how well did you know him before you got married?
I think about the same time, 10 months.
So did you guys I didn't go out on dates.
I had never seen him before until, you know, that day I was going back to school. Actually, I was going back to school for some afternoon program. And then we always used to take a bus into town if we could find one. But most of the times we would get a ride, and he gave me a ride. Because my teacher was taking me to the bus stop. I'm a big girl, you know, but she has to take me to the bus stop. and then she went back home, and then I took a ride with this. So I was alone with him, right? Okay. Yeah, my first husband.
So how long after your parents said yes did you get married?
About 10 months. I mean, That was about 3 months. 3 months.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Was it a very big wedding, or was it?
No, it was a simple wedding. It was a Baha'i wedding. Again, Baha'i weddings are very, very simple. Okay. A simple, you know, it can be exorbitant.
No, we were saying the same word.
as you want it to be, but it is very, very simple. You just say, we will both verily abide by the will of God. Nobody actually is there to marry you. You actually marry each other by saying this one simple line, and that's it. So that's the only thing that's required. You can have some friends come along and have drinks or whatever you want to do, but that's not necessary. Mm-hmm. So I had a very simple wedding. I had a white dress, you know. I remember it halter top my mom was there because my dad was not around. My brother, my husband's father, and his brother, and the two witnesses, Baha'i witnesses, because that has to be witnessed by the, you know, local spiritual assembly, and. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that was it. A very small party, and we were married. I had one little flower in my thing here, my dress. That's it.
So I know you mentioned that he was Catholic, so it didn't matter with the interfaith being of Baha'i?
No. It you can marry anyone you want to, you know, and you make the choice. No, you know, like in some cultures, you know, the parents choose for you, but no, mm-hmm. you you fall in love with someone and that's the first step. But the second step, which I missed, is to really get to know the character of the person before. And you talk about dating, but you don't do it by dating. It's more like getting yourself into a situation. I guess you could call it dating, but it's getting yourself in a company of others and observing this person. Mm-hmm. For example, observing this person, how they deal with their family. Observing this person, how they deal with, maybe if you go babysitting, for example, and how do they deal with children? How do they deal under stress? Mm-hmm. You know, certain things you can pick up. But if you're going on a date and you're so romantic, nice, everybody's on their best behavior, mm-hmm. you sometimes miss a person for 10 months could hide their real being, you know? You could, mm-hmm. you could even go to bed with someone and they hide for years. They could hide who they really are. But if your intention is to know that person's character and take all the emotions out of it, just knowing the person's character, the best thing, you know, you could actually do would be to observe them in their everyday lives, you know. And so that's why I say dating as we know it today, as we think of it, is mm-hmm. not really what it is made out to be. Mm-hmm. And if it was, so many marriages would not end up in divorce, because the chicks of it is knowing that person, knowing if you can spend the rest of your life with this person. You
Absolutely.
Know? And you can only know that by getting to know that person. Know that person through their family. You know, one of the best ways you can actually know is seeing how that person interacts with their family. Mm-hmm. Sisters, their mother, especially in this, yeah, how they interact. And then that will show you how they're going to treat you, what kind of person they are, and so on. So, there are ways. Go on a long trip, maybe with friends, of course. Mm-hmm. Go, you know, get, you know, for example, if you're stuck in a car with someone for hours driving, you get to know that person, you know.
True.
So that is one of the things that I skipped. And it was naive of me. And but that's not Baha'i marriage. Like what I did a Baha'i marriage, but then I skipped certain parts of it. Mm-hmm. And I did certain part of it and I didn't. And so it's not that it failed because I was naive. I didn't know. I didn't really understand it. Mm.
So what was your first year of marriage like?
The first year was very romantic. It continued. It was very, very like, there's this guy who's 20. He's like 28 years old. And I am like just 19 by that time. You know, it was very, very, I think I was looking for a dad too. You know, mm. it's like a psychological thing. Looking back, it's mm-hmm. it's what is, everything that impressed me about this guy was he represented the father that I never had at home. Mm. Yeah. And so I think that I didn't even know that, but all those things were working, you know, that in the background of what was happening. And I was enamored with him, you know, absolutely. I would do anything for him, you know, mm-hmm. just to be with him, you know. And so, yeah, that's my critical thinking, which I didn't have much of, but it was kind of way out. Just all emotions, you know, that first year and the second year. Yeah, about 2 years. And then the honeymoon was over. Mm.
Did you guys have children right away?
I did get pregnant right away, but I did not. I had a miscarriage. I had two miscarriages. Sorry. That's okay. I had two miscarriages, and then I had my first child at 23. Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
So how did marriage change once you had your first child?
Once I had my first child, how do you say it? A lot of things had started to unravel by then. Mm. And the first child didn't fix it, which I was thinking maybe it would. But again, you don't know. It didn't. I would say by the time I had my first child, if I was smart, I would have ended it there. Mm. But I was not. I was like, bring on more, whatever it is, bring on more suffering, I guess, you know. it was very hard. It's a very difficult marriage. At least that's what I remember. I guess there were good parts. But I don't know, I guess the human mind and my personal mind, I tend to remember, you know, what wasn't good, mm-hmm. you know, and it seemed to be a lot that wasn't good. And all I was trying to do and thinking that I could do was fix it. I was always thinking that I could fix it. Absolutely. Why me? I can do this, you know, I can do this. I'm not going to run away from this. I'm not going to let this go. I can fix this. Yeah. And 25 years later, well, you know, mm-hmm. well, it's not really 25 years later because like it went in spasms or phases, you know, mm-hmm. there are phases when I was like, every time I had a baby, I thought, okay, I got to stay because this baby needs a home. Needs a father, it needs a mother. You know how we think. Mm-hmm. Well, we used to. I don't know you guys how you think. No, but, you know, so I'm going to try to create this a marriage. I've always read in Baha'i Faith, marriage is a fortress for well-being and salvation. A fortress for well-being and salvation. It's supposed to be that. And so in my mind, I needed to create that. But you know what? One hand can't clap. You know, one hand can't clap. And so it just never happened. And although I felt I could do it, I still feel if he really wanted to, we could have done it. But he never really wanted to, I don't think, until it was too late. Mm. It didn't work for that reason.
So are you the one that initiated the divorce?
Yes.
What was that divorce process like?
Okay, well, what I realized, right, was that this male was a male, like a lot of males, that are emotionally not there. Not, you know, I there's a term for it. Can't think of it right now. So every time I had a baby, I would think, oh, he's going to be how I expect a man to behave when they have a baby. And then he would be like, not there. Absolutely not there. In those days, you could. They had just started having a man into the, you know, in the labor room when you're giving birth. Mm-hmm. Before that, it was like, no, the men need to stay out. Now, this was like modern times, you know, mm-hmm. men can come in and help with the birth. And then I expected that. I wanted that. And it never happened. And yeah. So I'm sort of kind of going doom and gloom, but that marriage was, the reality is it was something that if I was, I don't know, if I was smarter or something in terms of life, I probably would not have continued it, mm-hmm. but I did. And it was just, Every time I had a baby, I thought, wow, okay, I had my second child. I waited so long. It was like seven years before I had my girl, Stephanie. And she was a total blessing, you know. And then it didn't work. It just, you know, broke down. And then 5 years later, I had my last son. Mm-hmm. And again, same thing. And then when he was 8 years old, I was then 42 years old. And I just thought, you know, I'm done having kids anyway. So, and in my mind, marriage is a fortress for well-being for the reason of carrying on a civilization, you know. Marriage is, you know, you have kids in this marriage. That's what it's made for, mm-hmm. where you can shelter these children and they can, you know, carry forward an ever-advancing civilization, you know, like keep things moving, the human race moving. And that is one reason for marriage, and at least at my age and at that age. And so, yeah, so by the time I had 3 kids and I was 42, I wasn't going to have any more kids, and this marriage was just not working. And so I initiated the divorce. And in a Baha'i marriage, you also have to have 1 year, what's called a year of patience, because divorce is not, it's not encouraged. It's not, no marriage isn't, no divorce is encouraged, but it's not something that, you know, that you take lightly then.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that is probably why I stayed in it that long too. I just, it's not something that is, that you do once you have a Baha'i marriage is supposed to last forever, you know, everlasting. Mm. Throughout, the souls are supposed to become one, you know. And so it wasn't happening, like, you know, it just wasn't happening. So I initiated the divorce, and that was that. And I never looked back, you know. Mm. It's like, you know, when you give it your all, mm. by the time it's done, it is like, oh my God, thank God it's gone, you know. Yeah.
Did he have anything to say about it when you brought it up to him?
Oh, yes. I mean, he, yeah. So he didn't want the divorce, mostly because he just, I feel that he just probably liked it the way it was. He could do whatever he wants. He's not a Baha'i. He's a Catholic, but he's not really a Catholic. I mean, his family is Catholic, but he's not really, he doesn't believe in the institution of marriage like I do, in terms of being faithful and chaste, and he doesn't believe in what I believe. That's the other thing is, you need to be, the Bible says you need to be evenly yoked, but it is true that you need to have similar values in terms of not only values, but marriage values. You know what I mean? What is marriage to you? Is it something that you feel, you know, you're just doing because society says you got to do it, whatever? Or is it something that you really believe is what is our purpose? We were created to do, you know? And this is part of our, you know, when you get married, it is like a sacred, it's not only a sacred vow, it's a sacred life that you are entering. And you have to, and it's not easy. It is definitely not easy, but it is not something, it's something that if you work towards, two of you together, you create this union, not only in the form of physical union, which we can see, we had 3 children, so we did have a physical union, but it's also a spiritual union that is not broken throughout the worlds of God. So you continue even after you leave this very transient period of your life into a continuous and everlasting life with your partner. Mm-hmm. That's what marriage, according to the scriptures, that's what marriage is. And so if you don't think that way and you don't believe in that, then I just got to realize that this is not going to happen. See, if it doesn't happen on earth, it won't happen beyond.
Right.
It's not. It is not a spiritual bond. And so I just resigned myself to accepting that I had a physical bond and it was not spiritual. Mm. That's all I can. Because even after I wanted the divorce, the things that he did and said and thing, nothing showed that he was willing to change.
Mm.
He was not. So I had to go. I was smart enough then to know that this is it, you know, this is it.
All right. Marriage. So after that first marriage ended, I know you said you took about 5 years before you got married again.
Yes.
In those 5 years, did you know you wanted to be married again, or is it something that kind of just happened?
I knew that I wanted to get married again, just like how I knew I still want to get married again. No, because it's just the way I am. You know, it's like, I don't know how to put it, but I need a partner. I need to find that. People call it soulmate, but I don't know what it is. But I do need to find this partner. Mm-hmm. And if I don't, I don't. But at the same time, I'm not giving up, you know.
Right.
And the other thing is with me right now, is like, and I've never, ever searched for a husband, by the way. They've always come to me. They've always, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that that's the way people should do it, but just the way I am, you know. So I feel like if it's to be, God is going to, it's going to happen, mm-hmm. you know. Gonna happen, and you know, I don't know what your question was. I kind of different.
That's okay. So, how did husband number two find you?
Okay, so it's a story. Oh my! All right. Okay, the truth is, I'm still not smart, and I still didn't learn from the first marriage. Okay. But now I believe I have learned. All right. There's a lesson that I was supposed to learn there, and I think I have learned it. And so this other one, the other marriage that I'm thinking maybe I will have, if God wants me to, I am definitely going to go a different way, you know, because I've learned something from that second marriage. It kind of brought it back. Anyway, so it got me to see what it is that I was doing, mm-hmm. you know, and just like on autopilot or something, mm-hmm. you're not really thinking. So the same thing happened again. So this guy, okay, so I'm in Dominica. I got married in Dominica and stayed there all these years. I had my own business, and I had my spa, and I was doing well. And then I got divorced, and I moved. I had to move my spa from my husband's property because it was his family property that I had it in.
Okay.
So I moved it, and when I was moving it, I needed more financing. I needed to go to the bank to have them, because I had ideas to create franchises in the different parts of Dominica where we'd have small spas, because this spa was doing so well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wanted that. But I also had gotten to the point where, because of my divorce, I was married to a very influential Dominican.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was hard to actually live my life in Dominica after a divorce. All right.
Oh, okay.
It was not easy. And it made it very difficult for me. Everybody who you thought were your friends, not your friends anymore because you divorced, mm-hmm. whatever. It was very hard. And not only that, I had lived all my life in Dominica, and I've always felt that I am a child of the universe, and I want to be somewhere else. I don't want to spend my whole life here.
Mm-hmm.
So all of these things are going through my head. Like, I want to sell my business. I want to make it into franchises so I know that I've trained so many people in Dominica. I know they can do you know, they can take the business and do different parts of it in different parts of Dominica. And then I can sell it and my legacy still lives on, right?
Right.
Good, fine, good idea. But so I went to the bank, and of course, to cut a long story short, my second husband was the bank manager at the time. So first of all, I went there and they were saying like to the loans officer or whatever. And they were like, well, we can't let you do this because they had already heard that I was divorced. And, you know, they're thinking, oh, she can't, you know, she can't do this on her own, you know. So they kind of not wanting to, they've been discriminating against mm-hmm. me as a divorcee. It's a small country, right? So small thinking. And so they're like, so I said, you know what? Let me speak to the manager. You know, I have all my projections, I have all my plans, and this is that. And you're telling me after how many years I've been doing business that you're not going to give me a loan to expand? I mean, have you ever heard that? You
know? No.
So I went to speak to the manager. And of course, the manager was, and he gave me the loan, and we, you know, we started working on the business and whatnot, and doing whatever I needed to do. In the end, I had to just sell it and leave because he was there for like 2 years in Dominica, mm-hmm. managing the bank for 2 years. And he went back to the U.S. He's Dominican American. Oh, okay. He was back to the U.S. And I saw that as my passport to get the hell out of Dominica. Right? And that is the truth. And so, knowing me, I don't live with a man if I'm not married to them. And we had a relationship. And so I just made it.
Official.
Official. Got it. And so I made it official. And he was 14 years older than me. And.
Okay.
You know.
We're just getting older. His age gaps are getting
another
wider.
Another daddy, you know what I mean. The girl who needs a daddy.
At least you're in your 40s, so, you know, it's not the same.
It is terribly the same. Not only that, by the time I was 50, yeah, I was, by the time all that happened, I was almost 40. I was 40. In fact, I was 47 when I got married to him. And I came to the States, and he was whatever age he was, and we got married. But the things about it, after about, by the time he hit 70, mm-hmm. the age difference really was a lot to me, you know. Mm-hmm. And he got other issues that, you know, it didn't work. I don't want to go into it, but it didn't yeah. work. Mm-hmm. It didn't work for lots of reasons, but mainly because he was just so much older than me, treated me like not an equal, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We had a lot of things in common, but then a lot of things, we were from the same country, both of us in the U.S. And in fact, people used to think that I'm his sister or something. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we kind of look alike kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And so we had a lot, and we still talk to each other and we laugh and stuff. He gave me jokes, and, you know, he's very humorous, and yeah, but he's old. He's old in his thinking, and I just mm-hmm. had to, I mean, and then he started pushing me away because he, you know, emotionally he was, could not take on the fact that he had issues. Mm-hmm.
What did your children think about you getting remarried?
Well, my daughter didn't like it. I mean, no. My daughter didn't. First of all, my children didn't like me getting divorced to their dad.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Especially the first and the second one. The younger one, he was young. He didn't really have any ideas about that. He just wanted to be with mommy. But my daughter and my first son were old enough to have you know, ideas, societal ideas of what mm-hmm. is expected of me and their father, and they didn't want the divorce. So, and they blamed me for divorcing because, yeah, they blamed me.
You had filed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they didn't like it. And neither did, well, because I was getting married to an, believe it or not, I think, it's like society, you know, how we are. Because mm-hmm. I was getting to an older man, first thing, my husband didn't mind. He wasn't a younger man, so he that's cool. Yeah, it made it easy for him to swallow up. Because even if we're divorced, this we still kind of,
yeah.
I was still thinking, you know, I wanted out of there and I didn't want anything to do with it. But at the same time, he still felt that he owned me or something, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So what I did in the country, even after I divorced him, he felt reflected on him. And so, you know, anyway, so it was okay for me to marry an older man. Yeah.
Did your friends have anything to say about you getting remarried, or the friends that you had left?
Well, yeah. Actually, if I had listened to my friend, one friend of mine, I probably would not have married my second husband.
Oh.
Because she didn't like him at all. She had heard things about him and so on. By the way, that's not why I divorced him, the reasons mm-hmm. that she was talking about. Yeah, but really the marriage was not publicized, neither the divorce,
mm-hmm.
you know. So it was very quiet. I left Dominica. I did my thing. So all the people who know me are in Dominica. I mean, imagine I came to the U.S. I was 47 years old, you know, so nobody knows me here. I could do whatever I want. Yeah.
Was your second husband of the Baha'i faith or?
No. Oh, okay. Baha'i, no, he's not a Baha'i either.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah. So you see why I want to get married again, and I want to get married to a Baha'i.
Oh, okay.
Seriously. Yeah.
So with your Baha'i faith, did you grow up in the Baha'i faith?
Well, I wouldn't say grow up. The first 10 years of my life, as I was alluding to, I had no father. My mom wasn't there. So I was with some family out in the country, you know. And then my mom came back when I was like 11 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And did she come back at the right time in my life? She's, oh, I forever. I had for my mom, any
animosity?
Yeah, it's not really animosity, but like blaming that I was kind of feeling not enough, whatever emotional stuff I had about my mom, all went away when she came back because she was just wonderful. And like a sponge, I just was took in everything, and that changed my life. Mm. Absolutely changed my life. I went to high school. I did. Without her, I would have not been this person that I am today. Coming into my life at just that time,
mm-hmm.
11 years old. Yeah. So the question you asked me was, I forgot the question.
Sorry. When you came into the faith.
Oh yeah. So she is the one who started, you know, my mom was different, very different woman. I mean, different beyond her years or her time, you know, she just different person. And she was introduced to the Baha'i faith, and she would take me along with her everywhere because, I mean, we didn't see each other for the first 10 years of my life. So now I'm like totally untwisty. And she was very young because she had me at 16.
Oh,
so
okay.
I and her were like sisters, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So we would go everywhere together. She was some person introduced her to the faith. We went to meetings together. And me, as soon as I saw God is one, man is one, religion is one, I was like, wow, well, this is what I've been waiting for all my life, you know, kind of thing, you know, that we are one people, you know, mm-hmm. no matter what race you are, it's the human race. You belong to the human race. It's not that different races are beautiful, right? They all are beautiful and they come together in like in a garden, like the different flowers in a garden. Mm-hmm. It's beautiful. And so, and each one of us are children of God. And so is religion. Religion is really one. There's only one religion, but we've divided and, you know, divided them because we lack of knowledge and understanding of really what it is. It's one God sending different teachers at different times to guide us on our journey on this earth. And so they're more or less saying the same things spiritually. They may differ only in social laws. Social laws will change because we evolve. We need new teachings. Mm-hmm. So when my mom was introduced to that, I myself, but personally she had, sometimes when you're older, you have sort of barriers to overcome, mm-hmm. you know, that you to accepting something like that. But I had no barriers. I was like a clean slate. I'm like, yes. And so, yeah, I became a Baha'i early.
Mm-hmm. So, Connie, what advice would you give to somebody that is in a marriage?
In a marriage that is good?
Good, bad, I don't know. Just in general, what would you give? What kind of advice would you have for a married person? Usually when you give advice,
okay, all right. Usually when you give advice, well, if you're in a marriage already, understand that marriage is sacred. And it has two sides to it. You know, you need to develop a physical union, but you mm-hmm. also need to develop a spiritual union in that marriage. The marriage really is the foundation, the family is the foundation of society. And you need to think about that in your marriage and realize what important part you're playing in this civilization, you know, in this world. And understand that that spiritual part is what you really are. You are a spiritual being having a physical experience. So the emphasis is not really on the physical in your marriage, but the emphasis should be on the spiritual. And too much emphasis, in fact, it should be balanced. But if too much emphasis is on the spirit, in the physical, and it becomes a tug of war, it becomes no spiritual guidance. You know, you're more or less arguing. What they say, 50% of marriages in the United States end up in divorce, and it's true. And the main reasons they give for that is being arguing, you know, about whatever, money. Yes, so the advice I would give, having had two marriages that ended up in divorce, is to pay attention if you can. First of all, you need to be in a healthy, you need to create a healthy relationship in your marriage, right? Mm. It's not easy, but it's well worth it if you can do it. If the both of you need to be able to consult, and when I say consult, I mean, yeah, so you need to be able to consult. You need to have respect for each other and love. But that quickly goes away if you don't know how to communicate. Mm-hmm. You know, that was the main problem. You know, the fact that we don't know. We grow up not learning sometimes how to communicate. And so we enter a marriage without that skill. So if you're in a marriage and you realize you do not have the skill, you have to find a way of developing the skill, you know, mm-hmm. consult with each other, you know, like when you are talking about something that you want, for example, and your partner says, well, I don't think so. And then an argument starts.
Mm-hmm.
What you ought to do is let go of what it is that you think you want he lets go about what he thinks he wants. And you kind of meet each other in this middle, right? Mm-hmm. And then with a pure heart, you know, detached from everything, and then you bring God into it, right? So you pray about it, because prayer is scientifically proven to actually calm you down and bring you in alignment with purity and godliness, right? Mm-hmm. So once you've done that, then you have this union, you connect, you have a union where you can begin to communicate in a way that actually makes sense and harmony, you know what I mean, and to you, for you to be able to create that harmony. But if you're arguing with each other, that's a fact that you have not learned how to communicate. Mm. There's no need for argument, you know? There's a need for stating your needs and your wants and your ideas, putting them down and not be attached to them to the point where it's my idea, you let it go. Mm. He puts his idea, both of you let it go and let it take its form. On its own, it will take a form that is pleasing to both of you, and then you move forward with that. So my advice is communication, you know, communication in the right way. It's a skill. It's a real good skill that we all should learn even before we are married. And, you know, so that by the time we get into a marriage, it's easier. It's easier.
What's the biggest lesson or lessons that you learned from your previous marriages?
Exactly that. Communication, communication, communication. All right. So, I mean, there's that love on both marriages. There was that first attraction that made us realize that we got something we could build on. I mean, you got to have that, right. You know? Yeah, you got to have that somewhere or the other. That must be there. But that's just the first step. Then comes, you know, the major work that has to be done. And there's a myth that, you shouldn't have to work towards it. Let me tell you, this is a myth. You have to work towards it, you know? But when I say work towards it, it's not a selfish work towards it. It's an understanding that this is a union. This is two people coming together, two different people coming together. So you can understand that you have to give and take. You know, it's not like what I want, what I want, what I want. The I actually gets, you have to leave the I behind, you know, and adopt what we want. Create something where it is what we want together. When you have that, to me, that's it. You have a union, you know, a union. And especially if it's based on God, you know, then that is going to take you far, you know. So you could have a union, just an earthly union. You could have a spiritual union. You could have both. That's what you need.
So, Connie, first of all, I want to say thank you so much for accepting our invitation to be on the podcast. And thank you for letting us into your story. Mm-hmm. But before we let you go, we have to ask you one more question that we ask all of our guests. And that question
is marriage worth it?
Most definitely, yes.
Alrighty, and there you have it. It is a most definitely yes from Connie.
You can follow our podcast at Marriage Worth It on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter. You can email the podcast also at marriageworthit@gmail.com. If you have any questions, concerns, guest suggestions, or dates, our DMs are open. I'm Janelle.
I'm Monique.
And this has been Is Marriage Worth It?